Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks so much for being here for this episode of The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. 5 days into the new year, did you make any resolutions for 2022? And if you did, how are they going? Are you still going strong on those goals for the new year, or have you already given up on one or more of those New Year's resolutions? Here's a list of the top 10 resolutions, the most popular, the most common resolutions here in the U.S. This is according to the website Statista.com. Number one is, and this shouldn't be a surprise, doing more exercise or improving your fitness. And if you listen on those last few days of the year on the radio, if you tune into different stations, television, live ads, you'll see all kinds of different gyms and other fitness places. They'll offer those memberships, waiving the member fee or, you know, having some sort of discount. So yeah, number one, doing more exercise or improving your fitness. Number two, losing weight. Kind of tied in together there, most likely. Number three, saving more money. Trying not to spend as much, trying not to charge as much, saving more money. Number four, improving your diet, eating healthier. Number five is pursuing some sort of career ambition. Number six on this list, the sixth most popular New Year's resolution, spending more time with your family. Number seven is taking up some sort of new hobby. Number eight, it's just a something else category. A resolution that doesn't fit into one of these other broad categories. And so then number nine, spending less time on social media, and the 10th most popular resolution for the new year here in the U.S. is to give up smoking. So do you have a goal for the new year that falls into one of those categories? Three of those top four, they deal with trying to be healthier, the exercising, the losing weight, the eating better. Now, there's also a date that is called Quitter's Day. Are you familiar with this? This is a date when it's most likely that the majority of the people will give up on their New Year's resolution. Any idea where that falls? How many days past January 1st? This year, it's January 14th. It's the second Friday in January. Apparently, 2 weeks is about all that people can handle of trying to do those things to improve themselves, and then they just give up. That's the majority of people. I've actually never been one to make a bunch of resolutions each year. But there was one time that I really did stick with it, and this was, I don't know, 9-10 years ago. My wife and I, we both said, we want to lose some weight, you know, that number one, number two. We wanted to get in better shape. And we came up with this idea of how we could lose weight in the new year. My wife loves competition. She loves that competition, and it will keep her motivated. So she came up with the idea that we could take a pretty significant portion of our tax refund that we were expecting that year, and we would try and drop pounds in the first few months of the year. And whichever one of us lost the most weight by Easter, they would get the money and they'd be able to go and spend it on whatever they liked. And it worked. We both stuck with eating healthier. We did more exercise. We were avoiding desserts, all of those things. And by the time Easter came around, not only had we dropped the weight that is so easy to put on during the holiday season, but we had dropped a few more pounds beyond that. And, you know, sticking to those New Year's resolutions, it's tough. That's one of the only times I can ever think about being successful. How about any resolutions for you to grow in your spiritual life? Have you set any goals in that area for yourself? Obviously, this is our show here on Relevant Radio about spiritual direction. And so today on The Inner Life, we want to look at the idea of some of those spiritual resolutions, along with how we can keep those resolutions. We won't hit Quitter's Day coming up next Friday and say, I give up. I'm just going to go back to the same old, same old. No, we want to make them part of our long-term growth in knowing and loving and serving God. And today, helping us look at this, our spiritual director for the hour, Father Michael Hurley, is back with us once again. Father Michael is a Dominican priest, and he's the pastor of St. Dominic Parish in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Father Michael, any New Year's resolutions on your horizon this year?
Well, good morning, Josh, and Happy New Year to you.
Yes, yes.
First of all, I have to say, you're a wonderful host, but I'm hoping that you didn't tell us the rest of that story just to tease for the next segment or something, but you've got me on pins and needles. What did your wife decide to do with the money?
The reason I kind of avoided that is because now I won the weight loss competition, but as a husband who then beats his wife in weight loss, I didn't really win, Father.
Okay,
I didn't ever actually take that money and do anything with it. I was like, oh, we can use it for the family. That's fine.
That's where, depending on where things stand, you look for another way to, like, it was a percentage base, not just a raw number or something like that. That's where you got to get creative, Josh.
Yep.
That's when she has to win. Anyway, good. No, it's just wonderful to be with you. And in terms of resolutions, certainly the first of the year is something where you kind of just culturally, as you mentioned, have that sense of kind of restarting or renewal. I have to say for myself, I usually find myself more in the resolution spirit, if you will, heading into seasons like Advent or Lent, connected with just personally kind of the liturgical season. So
sure,
I don't think January 1st has ever been for me, just personally, just as a personal kind of thing, a real moment of like, oh, now's the chance. It's more like, it's kind of like January 1st is like, oh, it's because depending on when Easter falls, it'll be like, oh, I've got a couple weeks before I decide what I'm doing for Lent, which will be, I think it's in March this year. So I've got well past Quitter's Day to get on the horse for my Lenten kind of resolution.
Well, and you know, I think that's kind of a good starting point anyway, because, you know, I remember years and years ago, I mean, I was a child. I remember reading a Garfield comic, and Garfield, it was just him. It was one of those three-panel comics, and he said, any idea on the most popular day to start a new diet? And he said, no, it's not Monday. No, it's not the first of the month. The most popular day to start a new diet, and this is for anything, I'm sure. He said, the most popular day is to start tomorrow. It's always, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'm not going to start today, but tomorrow I'll start brand new. But whether it's January 1st, whether it's the beginning of Lent, whether it's, you know, Advent, whatever that date might be, and hopefully that we don't just get a couple weeks in, hit Quitter's Day, and say, okay, I give up. I'm not making any effort here. That we can move forward. It might be good to start our discussion talking about the importance of, regardless of whether we're starting tomorrow or whether we're starting at a different date, the importance of doing an evaluation of our spiritual life from time to time. And I'm not talking just about a daily examine, which hopefully is part of our routine, or a regular examination of conscience that we might do if we're preparing to go to confession. I'm talking more in the realm of taking stock of if I've been growing deeper in my relationship with God, if I've been growing in my prayer life, or if I find myself stagnating. So can you talk about the importance of this? How often should we review our spiritual progress? What are some of the basic things that we should look for in our interior life to know if we are indeed making good progress, or if there are areas that do indeed need improvement?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think you mentioned both kind of daily examine and then kind of more broad general. And I think those things can actually work in concert. So my little tip when it comes to any, I could apply to anything for sure, but just in terms of spiritual life, is that when it comes to an area of our life, that could be in terms of prayer, it could be in terms of our study, well, the four Dominican pillars, prayer, study, communal life, familial life, and ministry, or the active vocation we're called to. We need to be doing something every day about it, something every week about it, and something every month about it, and something every year about it at different levels. In other words, all those work in tandem. So just to take a kind of an easy example in terms of prayer, we need to be praying every day, right? So there's got to be a sense of whether it's the rosary, a morning and evening prayer, a daily examination. That's got to be part of the bedrock. We've got to be doing something every week, and that is certainly coming to Mass, at least on the Lord's Day, on the Sunday. We need to be doing something every month, and I often regard that as being that time when we've hopefully, if we're doing a daily examination of conscience, you get about 4 to 6 weeks in your life, already, I'm ready for that spiritual shower. I'm ready for confession again. I just know it's kind of like you feel that kind of the burden of the gravity of our own sin and selfishness there. I just need to get cleaned up, and that's about the right kind of time. And then when you talk about it every year, this is why priests and religious and really recommend for everyone to have some kind of retreat time, some time that is just away with the Lord, where you can do a kind of more broad a sense of like, where's the Lord leading me? What is he asking of me? What does he want to do through me? And often when I will do a retreat, you make what's called a general confession. That is, you kind of, your confession is not simply for whatever faults or sins have occurred between the last time you went to confession, but just in the scope of your life to say, you know, how has the Lord brought me to this moment, and where does he want me to go? And acknowledging the depth and the power of God's mercy from, you know, everything that's gone before, not to say that God hasn't forgiven us for past faults, but to recognize how far the Lord has brought us, hopefully, to this moment, and to basically be engendered by that sense of hope, which always gives us a sense for the future and what God can do for us and through us going forward. So I think in terms of just a little tip in terms of things, your daily should be feeding, the weekly should be feeding, the monthly should be feeding, yearly or annual kind of assessment. And that can go for any aspect of our life.
Sure. You know, one of the things is you're talking about those different things as those are feeding into that annual assessment there. One of the things that I think is a possible trap when we do that spiritual self-evaluation, and this is one of the things that I think is so beautiful about the Catholic Church having this tradition of silent retreats.
Yeah.
It's so easy to fall into the area of comparing ourselves to others. You know, oh, well, I'm obviously doing better than Charlie or better than Betty over there. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not as bad as they are. But when we end up comparing ourselves with others, we can find ourselves justifying our shortcomings or areas where we might be acting a bit spiritually lazy. And I think comparison can be helpful if we're looking to incorporate beneficial habits and practices, you know, looking at the saints, looking at other holy people in our lives. But I think that's the main key, at least for me. Look at how I can emulate virtues and holiness and never use that comparison as a means for giving myself an excuse or rationalizing so that I don't have to put in as much effort to grow in holiness.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point, Josh. And it works exactly like you say in terms of it can be at least I'm not making the front page as being some notorious criminal or you kind of will see other people that you think are not quite living, as they ought to be. But I find it works the other way, especially in terms of first of all with myself, but also in terms of, in the sense of spiritual direction, that comparing yourself, in a sense, even to the great saints, which we should be inspired by, can also just, it can kind of get us frustrated or giving in easily to despair. In other words, Lord, why am I not making kind of progress I think other people are making? In other words, comparison is a double-edged sword in the sense that not only can it lead us to a kind of presumption, but if we truly see comparison as a form of health, you know, we might just give up. We might just, you mentioned Quitter's Day. We might say, you know, how could I possibly be like this saint or that saint? And so I think oftentimes saints, the most important part of the saint's life is not necessarily the great acts of love that they do, but the humanness through which God does work those great acts of love. In other words, it's not simply their merit that is the source of our inspiration, but their frailty that God works through despite
right in spite of the failings and the faults that they have. Look at the wonderful thing God has been able to do with this person because they allowed God to work in their life. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so comparison is a killer. It's a spiritual killer, as you're mentioning, because there's no winning in comparison, because it's either you know, oh, I'm doing so much better, as you say, than Betty or whoever. Look at me. Or you're like, oh my goodness, I could never be, you know,
right, defeatist, you know, like
a John, yeah, a John Neumann who we celebrate today, or a Elizabeth Ann Seton who we celebrated yesterday. These saints seem to have done heroic culture shaping kinds of legacies. And yet, if you actually read their lives and their struggles and their difficulties, they were simply people who were faithful. That was their secret. They were humble and faithful, and they allowed the Lord to work through them, and not because they were so great, but because God wanted to show himself through them. And that's in other words, if we want to compare ourselves to anyone, it's to compare ourselves to ourselves. In other words, to track our own sense of growth, or that sense of openness to God's grace.
Well, you know, that also goes back to a really good just principle for the spiritual life in general, is if we are trying by our own muster, by our own energy, to strive and grow in holiness, we will fail. If we're trying to do it for our own benefit, it becomes more of a prideful area than it does by us surrendering and saying, God, however you want to use me, however you want to work in my life, I want to surrender my life to be used for your glory, not for my own glory, but for your glory. And I think that right there has to be that mindset, that attitude, that heart attitude that we have going in. Otherwise, we will find ourselves failing.
Yeah, and what you say is true, because it's the deep mystery of the quality of free will that we're all given, is that we're at most free. We talk about, you know, just kind of like choosing, or basically, you know, just being a matter of willpower. We talk about willpower. If I just had enough willpower, my resolution will get me through Quitter's Day, as you said, right? You know, just so it's a matter of the strength of our will. The interesting, mysterious way God has made us is that our will is most powerful when it surrenders to the source of that freedom, Christ himself, to know that it's not just our power or our resolution or our vim and vigor, the pulling up by the bootstraps kind of thing. It's surrendering our will. It's obedience to the capital W will of God for us that actually unlocks the ability to be most free and to allow the Lord to work powerfully his love in us.
Our spiritual director today on The Inner Life, Father Michael Hurley. He's a Dominican priest and pastor of St. Dominic Parish in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Today, talking about spiritual resolutions. Obviously, we're at the beginning of the new year, 2022. What are maybe some spiritual resolutions you've made for this year? Or are there things that you'd like to grow in your spiritual life? What are some strategies that you will use to help you follow through on keeping those spiritual resolutions, helping to make them part of your regular routine? Maybe in the past, what are some ways that you have been able to develop those good spiritual habits in your prayer life, other areas allowing you to grow in your faith? You can call in and talk with Father Michael at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also email us at innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester. Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond. Spiritual director today, Father Michael Hurley, a Dominican priest, the pastor of St. Dominic Parish in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and talking about those spiritual goals that we might set for ourselves in this new year, those spiritual resolutions. Do you have any ways that you are looking and saying, I want to grow in my faith this year? What are those? And how are you going to make sure you follow through on those? Are there some strategies, some different tactics that you're going to take? Maybe you've done that in the past, and there have been ways that you've been able to say, this really helped me. And it could help somebody else if they're saying they want to incorporate more prayer in their life, if they want to include more spiritual reading, if they want to make sure that they're attending daily mass on a more frequent, more regular basis. What are those ways that have helped you in your spiritual life to grow and sustain that growth? 888-914-9149 is the number you can call into our studio here, 888-914-9149. Father Michael, as we talk about setting those spiritual goals for ourselves, let's also talk about setting reasonable goals. You know, if you try and do too much, you're probably going to set yourself up for failure just right at the outset. And, you know, just like we talked about in the first segment of the hour here, you know, so many spiritual or so many just non-spiritual resolutions, just normal New Year's resolutions that people will make, they're focused around exercise, diet, you know, health, that sort of thing. And if I've been spending the last several months just sitting on the couch watching 5-6 hours of television every day, and I'm snacking on bags of potato chips and popcorn and drinking, you know, 2-liter sodas every single day, and then January 1st, I say, okay, I'm going to start running 10 miles a day. There's no way I'm going to be able to sustain that. You have to kind of work up to, you know, training for that 5K or that 10K or that half marathon or whatever you might want to do to get yourself healthy. And in the same way, we can't get overly ambitious with our spiritual growth either. You know, we want to stretch ourselves, sure. We want to do things that we can maintain, though. We, you know, if I've only been saying a short morning prayer and prayers at mealtimes, it's probably unlikely that I would be able to sustain 3 hours of Eucharistic adoration every day, going to daily mass, you know, incorporating all these other things. So can you talk about setting reasonable goals for where you are?
Sure. No, that's a good point. The way I might put this, though, is and I'm just going back to your beguiling story about your tax return, is I think the way to put it is you want lofty goals. I think you want big goals, okay. but because that's what actually gets you out of bed in the morning, like the idea of a big, but what you want is small practical habits.
Good.
So in other
words,
sure. the goal needs to be, I mean, if your goal is too, I don't say, if your goal is kind of like, I'm just going to, in other words, we make a distinction as a Dominican between goals, the vision, the end, and what it's going to take to get to that goal. And so I think actually the bigger, the better when it comes to the actual goal or the vision, right? Let's aim big, because that's actually, in terms of the ways that I know I've been, to whatever extent, been successful, it's been the Lord kind of prompting me to something that I thought, I don't know if that's really even possible, but what would it look like to just take that first step? So you're immediately, I mean, the analogy with, you know, just sitting on the couch and then going 10 miles, it's not going to work. But I don't think you start exercise. I don't think you can be successful in exercise unless your goal is something like being able to run a half marathon or something. I mean, that's the kind of goal that'll get you up off the couch, frankly. But then it starts, as you say, with reasonable habits, practical things that you can do, and almost micro habits. I know I was in terms of this reading some kind of books on the power of habit, and this one person was saying that he energized you know, a whole group of folks to be more physically active simply by saying, for the first week, all you have to do is get out your running shoes and put them on and go to the, you know, exit your house and then come on back, right? So just the habit of putting on your shoes, going outside, that's all you had to do. But if you did that for a week, then now you've lessened the barrier, you've overcome, you've made it more frictionless. So now, you know, the next week, now you're going to take a walk around the block. Well, now you're going to take a walk around 2 blocks. Now you're going to take, so in other words, building up and having small practical goals. There's nothing too small to start. But in some ways, I think the bigger the better when it comes to goals, in terms of being the ultimate source of motivation.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the other thing that comes to my mind is keeping things realistic, too, because,
yeah, that's true.
You know, we have to be practical about our day, our time commitments. You know, if you work, most of us work. then you're probably committed to 8-9 hours each day that's devoted to your employer. And so, you know, while spiritually you might be able to incorporate certain things into your daily routine there, that's not going to be where you can put maybe the bulk of that effort. You know, if you're married, then you need to devote a certain amount of time to your spouse in that relationship. If you have children, you can't shirk off your responsibilities of being a parent to them. So you have to find those opportunities where it makes sense. Now, if you do spend an hour a day watching television, or if you do spend an hour each day scrolling through whatever your go-to social media site is, then that might be an opportunity where you can say, well, I can cut back on some of that and I can devote that time to spiritual growth, to spiritual activities. But again, I think we have to be realistic, you know, when we are looking at those small practical habits that we can incorporate into our lives to grow spiritually.
Yeah, no, they make all the difference. And I think the key there, there's three key keys there. First of all, there's nothing too small if we're doing it on a regular basis. So if someone comes to me and says, I want to start praying every day, I'll often say, just start in the morning with literally like 3 or 5 minutes of prayer. If you, you know, some people, I say, oh, pray a rosary. They're like, oh, that's too, that seems too daunting, right? It's like, okay, well, 15 minutes. Okay, fair enough. But well, okay, start small. In other words, if you do 3 minutes of prayer every day, it's better than, let's say, I mean, just add it up. That's better than 20 minutes of prayer once a week,
sure.
Right? in the sense that you want, it's the habitualness, it's the faithfulness, it's the habit you're building. And so in terms of our spiritual life, there really isn't anything too small. there's no gift that we give to the Lord that's too small, both in terms of giving our time to the Lord, but also in terms of offering what we're actually doing. Now, you mentioned all the responsibilities and demands on our time in terms of work and family and so forth. And there's a way in which our habits might not be about doing anything different per se, but the way we're doing it, our intentionality towards offering this or that project or this or that, you know, daily kind of routine to the Lord in a new way, inviting Him to be part of the process. I know many years ago when I first had kind of the experience of being a priest and having kind of responsibilities of a pastoral ministry, I began to pray every day just as part of my morning routine before our Liturgy of the Hours or saying Mass or anything, just praying my calendar. And so if I know, like, for instance, I knew I would come on the radio this morning. And so, you know, 3 hours ago, I prayed about this moment already, right? So in other words, I pray my day before it happens, or at least what I have reasonably can expect what might happen given a particular day, so that in the moment when I'm doing it, I have every expectation that the Lord is here with me now and with us and going to bless this moment because I'm open to being sensitive to where He's going to lead me or nudge me or be involved in the situation in a way that if we just react to the day rather than having some time for proaction, as small as it might be, it shapes the whole day in a different way.
Yeah, you know, that kind of goes back to that idea that we are stewards of everything that God has given us, whether it's our time, our relationships. And so if we take that and we say, well, I know, God, I know that You have given me this day, You've given me this time that I have, and all the things that I'm going to do, rather than me do it of my own volition, my own effort, I'm going to do those in an effort to glorify You, to offer this back to You. That changes so much of that attitude, and it stays with us. Like you say, if you have that attitude at the beginning of the day, you offer that in prayer, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives us a sense that our God is not out there. God is with us. You talked about the Garfield cartoon about tomorrow, 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 and how easy that is in our spiritual life. We kind of think, you know, like, we God is part of our life whenever we like need something or whatever. There's something we can't manage, or that's kind of like it's always like in the future or when we need it on demand, right? Versus just an active, real part of our life to now. I think of St. Paul, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, now is the time to recognize the presence of God in our midst.
Right. Yeah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah. It's not coming tomorrow. It's here.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Father, let's go to the phones. We've got Mary, who is calling in from Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Mary. Thanks for joining us here on The Inner Life today.
Thank you. My idea for my resolution for 2022, actually, I got it from another lady at church. We have this group called Sisters of Christ, and we meet on Saturday mornings. And we all have these little prayers on separate pieces of paper on prayer cards. I probably had about 30 of them. And I try to organize them so that they're all together, and that's hard to do. So her idea was just get a photo album, a small one, with a real soft cover that you could easily stick in your purse. And, of course, it has all these little slots for you to put photos. Well, instead of putting photos, you're putting all those little prayers in there, and because it's so easy to take them in and out, you can change them as you need to. And so I've divided mine into morning prayers, evening prayers, and then miscellaneous prayers, and I always have it with me. I just recently went on a trip to see my family, and I could easily just stick it in my purse because I couldn't take all my prayer books and everything with me. So it's just I really, really enjoy it, and I pray in it every single day.
Mary, that's a fantastic idea. You strike me as being a prayer warrior, someone who has that cares and perhaps of intercessory prayer. So yeah, that's an excellent idea to be able to be a little bit organized, but having that on your heart and connecting with who the Lord has inspired you to pray for.
Mary, thanks so much for calling in and sharing here on the program. You know, one of the things that kind of jogged in my memory as I was listening to Mary talk about that, having that kind of photo album filled with those prayers that she can just go to through the day. I remember hearing one man talk about how in his office, one of the ways that he would try and incorporate more prayer into his life, he knew that every time he would walk through the doorway of his office, that was an opportunity as just a reminder. So he started saying the Our Father every time he'd get up. You know, if he got up to go and get a cup of coffee, if he got up to use the restroom, if he got up for a meeting, every time he'd walk through that doorway, going out or coming back into his office, he would just use that as a reminder. You know what? I'm going to say another Our Father. I'm just going to pray that prayer that Jesus taught us and keep on incorporating that. And he said, you know, I'd walk in and out of my office 20, 30 times a day, and it just kept on letting me reflect and meditate upon that prayer and offer that up through the day. So little things like that, I think that goes back to what you said, those small practical habits that we can incorporate into our life.
Yeah, another idea that comes to mind when you mention that is just having a little, they're in churches for sure, but just even in our own home, a little vessel for holy water that when we enter into our home, just to make the sign of the cross, which itself is a prayer, right? Reminding us of who God is, the Blessed Trinity, and how our salvation, God the Father, who comes down as we touch our chest, has come down in the person of the Son to then embrace us, you know, touching our shoulders in the Holy Spirit. So just the sign of the cross made with holy water, such a powerful prayer. And just having that little stoop, you know, there's different traditions of having just holy water, even in our house or in my office, where you just every time you enter into the house or a different room of the house, perhaps a bedroom or something, just making that sign of the cross can be just such a practical, habitual thing that, you know, when you go in and out of church, we're certainly perhaps most Catholics accustomed to doing that, but bringing that to our homes, as this is that time of year, just to mention, if we have the great tradition of having the blessing of homes. We had this last Sunday of Epiphany. And so at the parish here, we gave out little DIY, do-it-yourself home blessings with blessed chalk and holy water, which there's the tradition of having the head of the household bless the lintel of your place of home with chalk, marking it as the Magi did, discovering Christ in the home. So these little ways of blessing our homes, of making our homes spiritual sanctuaries where God wants to live and have his presence among us are so vital. And the story reminded me of that necessity to make it daily and practical.
Our spiritual director, Father Michael Hurley, a Dominican priest in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, today talking about those spiritual resolutions, those spiritual goals that we have for ourselves, especially as we're starting a new year. And what are those ways that you are looking to grow spiritually in this upcoming year? In the past, what has helped you to sustain those good spiritual habits in your prayer life and other areas of spirituality, allowing you to grow in faith, that you didn't just try it for a little while and it became too hard, but how did you sustain that? 888-914-9149 is the number you can call in and join us here on the program, 888-914-9149. And Father, one of the things you mentioned too, maybe we can talk about this coming up next here. You talked about the four different aspects of your Dominican spirituality. One of the ones is communal life, and I think that's also something we should talk about. So let's talk about the importance of not just being an island on our own, but that we do need others, and having others around us can help support us in that spiritual growth. We'll talk about that next coming up here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Five days into this new year here, and have you made any spiritual resolutions, any spiritual goals in your life? What are they? And do you have any kind of strategies, any tactics that you're looking at that you're going to use to help you follow through? Maybe you've done that in the past, things that have helped you to incorporate more prayer into your life, or maybe in the ways that you volunteer or help out, might be at your parish or with some other apostolate or other ministry. How has that, what has helped you in the past as you have tried to incorporate more in your spiritual life? You can call in and share your story, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, right before the break, I mentioned, you know, you went through the four different aspects that you focus on as part of being a Dominican. And one of those is communal life. We've talked about my wife and I, we had our kind of New Year's resolution to lose weight several years ago. And one of the reasons that that was successful for both of us, that we were both able to make good strides, is because we had each other. We were, you know, competing against each other, but also cheering each other on as we went. And can you talk a little about the idea of, you know, spiritual progress, spiritual growth? So many of the saints even we look at, and they will have other saints that they were good friends with, you know, whether they corresponded by, you know, letters, or whether they just knew each other, they lived in the same area, they helped each other. We even have that passage where I think it's St. Paul who writes, you know, just as iron sharpens iron, one man or one woman can sharpen another in their spiritual journey. So the importance of not just isolating yourself and being alone, that seems very key as we try and grow spiritually.
Absolutely. When you talking about kind of spiritual competitions was brought to mind was stories of some of the desert fathers that famously lived kind of eremitical lives, so kind of solitary lives, but they would have competitions between themselves who could do the best penances. So you get kind of like the X Games of the spiritual life, you know, Simon the Stagirite, you know, sitting on the top of a pillar. And so even my point is that even those who would lead a kind of a solitary life, even they wanted the community of kind of competing, as it says in the Office of Readings, in a great competition of humility and penance. So they kind of turned it into a game. So there's a natural, I think, attraction that we have as human beings, both to communal life and to even a sense of, maybe for guys, that kind of competition in that way. And that can be a very helpful thing, because it's interesting if you think about, we mentioned one of the keys of hitting a goal is maybe not to diminish the goal, but to have very small, practical kind of daily habits that are going to cultivate that. But I think equally as important is that we need help. We need accountability. We need some kind of spur beyond ourselves, which helps us to do that in that way. And so I, even looking at things that you're talking about, kind of things about, you know, avoiding, you know, addictive behaviors or giving something up or losing weight or eating healthiness, they've done studies on this. And there's a huge, huge difference between those who try to kind of achieve it on their own versus those who have a sense of community, a sense of accountability. And so, you know, different groups, you know, different anonymous groups or different ways in our virtual world of getting support have been shown to be, you know, exponentially more successful. And it comes down to the fact that we're creatures, we are, you know, God's creatures made in his image and likeness. And just as God is a relationship of persons, we are meant to be in that relationship.
Right.
So any way of growth and any resolution is never going to, it's not going to happen unless we're connected to someone else, unless there's accountability, support, a kind of let's do this together mentality. And so when you talk about New Year's resolutions, you kind of can't separate it from what's our family resolution in terms of your household. Who do you live with? Who do you interact with? Your resolution is probably not going to stand the quitting day unless somehow there's at least some kind of encouragement or support from the people you actually interact with on a daily basis.
Right. Well, and you know, that brings up maybe a different point too. Let's say that I am at a different place spiritually than my spouse as I'm listening to you say this. Yes, I want my wife or I want my husband to be on the same page with me, but they're just not at that place yet. Any thoughts on how you can possibly work together as a couple to make that progress in your faith life?
Absolutely. And I would start just by having that conversation. Oftentimes when folks will come to me and say, you know, I don't really know how to do this, or I said, well, have you actually talked it through? And they're like, well, not really. I just get the sense that he or she, you know, really wouldn't be into this. And I said, well, the place to start is just to say, hey, this is what's important to me. can you help me? But I need help. And vice versa, to be willing to listen to what the other person, to say, okay, I've expressed, you know, my, for example, let's just say there's someone who says, I'd like to pray together as a couple, and his spouse is perhaps not as keen on that kind of communal prayer. It's like, okay, this is, you know, what we won't do for ourselves, we will do for those we love, to kind of put that out there from a sense of doing it for the other person, but then also mutually exchange that kind of sense.
Right. Well, and that brings to my mind a couple that we know. They're actually godparents to one of our children. And the wife had grown up Catholic. The husband hadn't. But he knew that going to weekly mass was really important for his wife. And so just out of love for her, he said, no, that's fine. I'll go to mass with you every week. Well, fast forward, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years later, and he says, I'm ready to come into the Catholic Church. So even just that, hey, would you just go to church with me on Sundays? And I don't expect anything else from you, but, you know, could you just be there with me? That by itself, I mean, you know, like I say, I just watched that in one of our friends who that made such a huge difference in them then saying there's no other pressure, there's nothing else. It was just, you know, that hour a week, basically, that they're saying, I can do that because I love you, because you're my spouse. And then that marriage is transformed when he comes into the church.
Absolutely. And it's equally as important then to put the shoe on the other foot. In other words, ask him, but what can I do for, is there something that's kind of beyond my own comfort zone that you've noticed that I can do for you? How can I support
that's,
you in that
Yeah,
way?
That's so a great idea. Yeah. It's not just me asking for you, demanding of your time, but how can I reciprocate that? Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Father,
for
let's go back to the phones. Again, our spiritual director, Father Michael Hurley, a Dominican priest, pastor of St. Dominic Parish in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And Father, we've got Tom who's calling in from Stuart, Florida. Hi, Tom. You're on the air with Father Michael.
Hi, Father. Good to hear you guys talking about such wonderful things. I wanted to share one thing that has helped me in my prayer life. I'm a 57-year-old. I enjoy running. I have for many years. And what I do is whenever I go for a run, depending on how long the run is, between 4 and 6 miles, I'll always say the rosary while I'm running. And it's a beautiful time to spend with Mary, and it makes the run go a lot easier.
Nice. Are the sorrowful mysteries for the hills and the glorious for the downhills?
Well, it's funny that you should say that. Recently, I ran a 5K that involved two bridge crossings, pretty big bridges, and it was a really fast run. And on the first bridge, I started to say my Hail Marys, and I got to tell you, it was like two angels picked me up by the shoulders and just flew me up over those bridges. So I'm going to say that was the glorious mystery.
There you go. No, that's fantastic.
the other guys that were trying to keep up with me didn't think it was so glorious, but yeah.
I'll bet. Well, you let them in on your secret there. You can inspire them with that prayer. And it's interesting you say that. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Tom, because there is a tradition of prayer that involves physical, like, exercise. So there's a sense of, this is why religious cloisters have, you know, gardens or places to walk, because by just, whether you're running a 5K or even just physically doing something that kind of puts your mind, it kind of unlocks your mind, there's actually a way in which praying when we're physically engaged somehow can kind of develop a rhythm or a flow. So I really appreciate that resolution and that practice you have, because it can kind of bring us to a sense of connectivity when we're physically engaged, when we kind of allow our mind just to kind of meditate on the mysteries as we're involved in that.
Tom, thanks so much for calling in and sharing today. And again, if you'd like to join the program, our phone number is 888-914-9149. As we're talking with Father Michael Hurley about spiritual resolutions that we might set for this new year, and what are those that you've set for yourself? What are ones that maybe in past years you've set and you've been able to sustain them? What are some of the strategies or the tactics, the ways that you've been able to make that a part of your regular life? It didn't just start with good intentions and fall off. 888-914-9149. You know, Father, one of the things you mentioned earlier in the hour is looking at times during the liturgical calendar, seasons of Lent or Advent, and those are times where you kind of take stock and say, where do I want to see myself growing spiritually? And that was a very obvious thought of mine as I was preparing for our conversation today. Lent, it has those focus of those three areas, those three pillars: to pray more, to fast from something, give something up that might be an attachment for us, and then to focus on the poor, helping the poor, almsgiving. And those seem like pretty good basic areas that we could use for any time of year. They don't have to be exclusively just, you know, tied into Lent. We could use those regardless, whether it's January 1st or June 25th or whenever it might be. We can look at those and say, yeah, I've got the ability to do a little bit more here. Where can I grow? And maybe use those as guideposts for us.
Absolutely. And those are, if you will, from the scripture and tried and true in terms of how we are created as human beings. That is, we don't do anything unless we're connected to the source of life. So that sense of prayer, both asking for what we need, but being open to what the Lord has for us, of being able to let go of what keeps us from happiness, from God working in us, the kind of the resistance, to let go of the resistance, but then also to give of ourselves in the gifted ways God has given us. And it, essentially, I think for myself, that sense of allowing, because usually when we talk about resolutions, we focus, okay, what do I want to do? And I have to say, some of the more successful Lenten resolutions that I've ever had came not with me like making a plan, but really just spending a period of time beyond the usual things I do for Lent. But in terms of the kind of the yearly annual thing, I kind of wanted to push myself with, asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, make it clear to me, put it on my heart.
Yeah.
And so there's, I think there's a way, but when we approach resolutions, I think our first step needs to be not like, oh, what do I want for myself, but what does God want for me? Like, what's his hope? What's his desire for me? Lord, put it on my heart and make it clear to me in a way that I'm hoping to look for confirmation, either through other people or through the circumstances of life, that I'm really going to give you the grace to do it. Because honestly, if the Lord's not on board, it's not going to happen, because that's the strength we need. And so to maybe, you know, just starting out with that attitude of openness to not what we want, because you mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes our resolutions can, if they take the form of a kind of almost pride or kind of like an extension of ego, but to really start off on the right foot of saying, Lord, how do you want me to get closer to you? I know you're always here. What do I need to do? What do you want me to do? What do I need to do for you? And to let the Lord kind of help nudge us in that direction in before fully kind of engaging our plan. Your will be done, not mine, kind of thing.
Right. Well, and we're down to just our last couple minutes here, Father. Yeah. But, you know, in that vein, any saints you might recommend reading about, if I say, yeah, I really want to, I want to have that attitude and I want to incorporate more in my life. Any good examples that you might point somebody to reading a life of one of the saints?
Oh, there's so many great saints. Obviously, it's a great saint. But one that comes to mind just as you say is Francis de Sales is a book, is a, his sermons I like to read in Lent because he's just so practical and spiritual. He's coming at a point in history where there was Jansenism and a kind of like a an underestimation of the power of God's mercy. And so a lot of his advice is so practical. The Introduction to the Devout Life is it's just a real gem.
Yeah, that's
so,
such it, a that's, beautiful book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really practical, and it really is has the kind of optimism of hope we have in God's mercy, and that the Lord is going to if the Lord's begun a work in us, He's going to bring it to completion if we allow it, if we're on board. So,
Father Michael Hurley, thank you so much for being with us. Before we conclude here in our last 30 seconds, could I ask you to offer all of our listeners a blessing?
And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His countenance towards you. May Almighty God, in this new year of 2022, bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Father. Have a good rest of your day. And of course, if you joined the program late, the podcast is always available. It'll be posted here in just a little bit at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Tomorrow, I hope you can join us. We're going to talk about daily conversion. How do we renew ourselves in Christ? Have that daily conversion. We'll talk with Father Chris Walsh about that. Stay tuned. Of course, Mass is coming up next, and that's followed by the Faith Explained. And I hope you have a blessed rest of your day.